Okay, questions?
Forgive me if I, you know, get any details wrong.
Don't worry, there were a lot of details.
Yeah, exactly. I was wondering how someone like, I don't know, a kind of Van Frassen-style constructive empiricist might respond, because they might say, yeah, there's conceptual change, because, you know, some theories are just it just so happens, you know, the general relativity is more, you know, it's better at predicting states of observations and phenomena than Newtonian mechanics.
I think there's a short answer to this.
Yeah.
Which is, so okay, carry on.
The point is that conceptual change occurs, and there are reasons why we change the concepts, but these can be unpacked in terms of basically saving the phenomena and controlling and predicting the phenomena. But it still remains to be seen whether there is, whether we have to view our theories as somehow representing some underlying reality, you know, so that, for example, worrying about whether, you know, electrons are individuals is moot, because, you know,
honestly, I think there's a quick answer to this, which is that we can show that the formal structure of concept revision is different between scientific conceptual revision and, you know, revising our concept of what unicorns are. We can show that, like, arguments about the concept of the content of unicorn have a structure which is completely different from arguments about the structure of the content of the concept electron. And that formal difference is actually what the formal notion of reality consists in. It's the fact that that the world can force us in some way to revise our concept of electron, even if it's a very mediated way by way of several layers of theoretical concepts. It's still the world that's forcing us to do it, and it's that idea which underlies objectivity in this reality.
Yeah, but that's still the world in the most formal, in a very abstract sense. It's simply a system of, simply a set of observations that, or set of phenomena which our previous theories proved inadequate to, but it doesn't say anything about whether those theories do or do not capture an underlying reality. You know, I mean, I can't see the difference between your. I mean, I can't see. Let's be honest. I can't see whether you cut the difference between, say, some kind of constructive empiricism or some kind of scientific.
Again, I simply think that I don't know of Van Frassen so well, but I think a position which might come out similarly would be, say, Hugh Price, who, although I painted him as a classical realist, he actually isn't. He'd call himself a deflationist, but he wouldn't call himself a deflationary realist. He'd call himself a metaphysical deflationist. He'd just say, look, there are various different ways we have talking about different things, and they're just kind of incommensurable. We can't say that, you know, these kind of scientific descriptive practices describe what's real, and these are the practices don't describe what's real, because there's just a kind of pluralism about different frameworks within which we operate. And my answer to that is, actually, we can make a strong distinction between different kinds of discourse, and we can discover that one of these forms of discourse is fundamental. It's implicit within the very structure of truth itself, and that's what gives it priority, and that's what means it identifies the real, and discourse about unicorns and other things don't. So it's I'm trying to give a, I suppose, one of the things, what I'm trying to kind of show is that metaphysics isn't a priori. Metaphysics is a posteriori. But we can know a priori that metaphysics is a posteriori. We can a priori know that we have to describe the real. We just don't know what the real is. Hope that's okay.
We've probably got time for one more question if anyone wants to ask something.
That's great, thanks. It's a question about, so am I right in thinking that, so the metaphysics is really kind of task and responsibility of the natural sciences?
Not quite.
Okay.
This is the thing. One way of putting it would be to say, I've just said metaphysics is a posteriori. Right, but one way of putting it would be to say metaphysics is the most abstract form of a posteriori knowledge. So if you think that, if you're working in a kind of like a Quinean holistic framework, which I am basically, and you think, right, there's our observation statements at the edge, and they can force us to revise our concepts, which are like one step in, and they can force us to revise concepts, which are further steps in and whatnot. Metaphysics is what's going on right at the heart of it. And that means that there is a definite sense in which metaphysics is sensitive to the sciences, or must be sensitive to the sciences, and even a sense in which metaphysics is already going on in the sciences. They're already doing it implicitly. What I'm talking about under the rubric of metaphysics is making explicit that very specific thing that the sciences are already doing to a certain extent implicitly. Anyway, I could explain more about it, but I should probably do it later. one of the interesting things about this framework is I think we can establish an a priori link between metaphysics and science, basically. So, anyone else? Or Johan?
So, how would you place your system in relation to something like Davidson's system, right? I'm just wondering about this. It seems to be this idea, so you're operating with a roughly finite system, but you're, in a certain sense, denying that our perceptual scheme can't be affected in such a way that will inherently reach the real. It'll take lots of times, but the real will affect us in such a way that we'll revise our concepts, right?
Yeah.
So of course you have a lot more focus on conceptual remission than Davidson has, but
how is it? Well, I suppose what I'd say is I loosely agree with Davidson's idea of the whole, on the very idea of a conceptual scheme,
okay.
Insofar as, in principle, right, there are certain transcendental rules which govern all schemes.
Yeah.
And these make sure that, in principle, there can always be an argument about anything. In practice is another matter. Right, I think it is possible that in practice we could have such radically divergent concepts that we'd have difficulty establishing a common ground on which to have a disagreement. But in principle, transcendentally speaking,
yeah.
There can't be different conceptual schemes in that kind of radically incommensurable way.
Yeah, I think we're out of time.
Great, cool. Sorry I took so long.